I want to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter number 2. As I was reading the story of the birth of Jesus in preparation for tonight, I didn't just stop at the end of that story, but I read on down through the end of the chapter, and I came across a passage that kind of jumped out at me. About what happened to Jesus when he was 12 years old. When Jesus came up missing. I want to look at this story and I think it reminds us of sometimes that we can be doing things that are good. We can be doing things that are right. And we can still forget the most important thing. Joseph and Mary were doing something good. They were doing something right. They were going to honor the Lord at a feast that the Lord had commanded the people to come to Jerusalem. But in their doing good, and in their doing right, they forgot something important. They forgot Jesus. Look with me at Luke chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 41. The scripture says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. When he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast, and as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. But supposing him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us in this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?'" Joseph and Mary were doing something wonderful. The Lord had commanded that every adult male would go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for feasts. And Joseph didn't just go alone. Mary went with him. In fact, the scripture says that they went to Jerusalem every year. They were accustomed to doing the right thing. They were accustomed to doing the good thing. They were used to doing what was right in worship and serving God. But they did do that one crucial mistake this time. They left out Jesus, or they left Jesus behind. This is an important time of the year, and a lot of people really enjoy this special time of the year. Somewhere, I don't know when, and I don't know who, but way back in the recesses of time, someone decided that December 25th would be a day that people would celebrate the birth of Jesus. Irregardless of the correctness or incorrectness of that date, there is a celebration, or an acknowledgement at least, that Jesus came into this earth and was born as a baby to become one of us and to be wrapped, not just in swaddling clothes, but to be wrapped in flesh. God wrapped in flesh like us. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to take advantage of the people's hearts and times to point them to Jesus. But it is so easy in this time of the year to do good things and to forget Jesus. And so I'm looking at what Joseph and Mary did and the mistakes they made, the problems that they encountered. And I see that there were some things that they did that I'd like to point out so that we won't repeat when Jesus is missing. First thing we find in verse number 33 was that they left Jesus. It says, as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it. Now, Joseph and Mary somehow didn't pick up on this. And most of us would go, you know, how on earth could this have happened? It wasn't intentional. It was a mistake that happened. I know when I take our mission trips, the greatest fear I have is leaving one of your children. Every time we go to some place to get gas or get out to get a cold drink or whatever it is, and we get back in, I want a head count. I want to make sure, because I'd hate for 60 miles down the road me to realize that your kid's in the bathroom back at Chevron. It's a scary thing. And so you think, how could this happen? Well, if you understand that whole communities would travel together, going to Jerusalem was such a big deal that, in fact, entire villages would travel together for companionship, for safety on the roads, for multitudes of reasons. And it was not uncommon, because this could be a 2 or 3 day trip, for the kids to get mixed up with the other kids like they do today. You know, we come to church and our kids go kind of run around and get excited to see other people and they get to play in. And it wasn't uncommon for that to happen. On these trips, what I've read is that oftentimes the women would travel at the front and the men would travel at the rear, kind of bringing up the rear. And the women would set the pace because the men could travel a lot faster. And so as not to do it wrong, the men leaving the women behind, they put the women up front, sometimes the smaller children with the women, and the men in the back, and the younger people who wanted to be men, who thought they were men already, traveling with them. But the problem was that Jesus wasn't with them. They left him behind. And there were some mistakes that were made and some problems that may have contributed to their mistake. The first one was the problem of assuming. It says in verse 44, but they supposed him to be in the caravan. The word supposed means assumed. They assumed that he was with them. I'm sure Joseph probably assumed he was with Mary. Mary probably assumed he was with Joseph. Everybody assumed. I don't know if maybe they got up that morning and as everybody was milling around, they saw him and they started going and they saw him as he was getting ready to go to the temple, and just assumed. You know, there's a great danger when you assume things. And I think assumptions can create, we know that assumptions create problems in relationships. Someone assumes that someone heard it a certain way, or thought a certain way, or felt a certain way, or wanted things a certain way. Well, it can be a very dangerous thing when we begin to assume things about Jesus. I believe that we have to take a very special amount of care to make sure that we're not assuming things about our relationship with the Lord. Because see, we can begin a journey and everything's okay at the beginning and just assume that everything's okay. But if we're not taking active steps along the way to ensure that things are okay, Jesus might come up missing. The next thing that happened, if you'll allow me to use an acronym, was bad. Busyness, activity, and distraction. You see, they went a whole day without noticing that he wasn't with them. And in their busyness and in their activity and in their distraction, they missed Jesus. Busyness, activity, distraction. This is bad. Thank you for checking. I can just imagine during the day, Mary visiting with the other ladies along the way, enjoying the company, being distracted by all the things that were going on. It's a wonderful time of the year. It's spring. Beautiful flowers, birds, and flittering and making the new nests, and just the beauty of the nature all about you. All the company, all the chit-chat, all the friends, all the visiting, all the reminiscing. You know, these things only happen 3 times a year. If you see somebody only 3 times a year, you know how you kind of get caught up, visiting and enjoying. And this is kind of a special time. You might be traveling with somebody that lives in the same town, but, you know, during the year, you don't see them that much. They're on the other end of town, and you get the chance to kind of catch up and then the activity. And I'm not saying they're bad things, but combined, they create a problem. And all their commotion and all their activity and all their preoccupation, Jesus was left out. Jesus was missed. And it can happen. Man, so much this time of the year. You probably feel it sometimes. All the hecticness, all the activities, all the busyness. Now, I'm a blessed man. I have not been to the mall yet. I am incredibly blessed. In fact, I needed to get something from the mall this week. And a friend of mine was going to the mall, and he said, you know, I really want to get you a gift. I said, what can you get me? I'm going to the mall. I said, I'll tell you what you can do. When you're at the mall, you can pick up this thing that I know where it's at for somebody. And if you get that for me, that will be my gift. The fact that you went to the mall and did it for me will be your gift to me. Boy, when I see Walmart and I see these stores and the hecticness and the busyness and all that's going on, And I look at calendars and trying to schedule meetings with people this time of the year. It's impossible because this person's going to be there and they got this office party and they got this family gathering and they got this and this and this and this and this and this. Well, it's real easy to have bad busyness, activity, distraction, and leave out Jesus. If we're not careful, Jesus will be forgotten. Not because we're doing anything bad, but because we're busy, because of activity, because we're distracted. The last problem that I see, not just that they were made assumptions, not just that there was busyness and activity and distraction, but I also see an issue of responsibility. Or maybe another word would be accountability. I can just imagine Joseph and Mary's conversation at 6 p.m. that afternoon. Well, I thought he was with you. Well, I thought he was with you. Well, I thought you knew where he was. Well, I thought you knew where he was. I thought you must have let him go play with the kids. Well, I thought you had him with your parents. Well, I thought, and you see, almost going back to the very first problem in the garden, you know, who told you? Somebody else. It was somebody else. Folks, we have got to take responsibility for our relationship with Jesus. I can't just, assume and let it slide. I'm accountable. I'm responsible. Every one of us is accountable for our relationship with Jesus. This time of the year, I think we as moms and dads are especially accountable to point our children to Jesus and to help somehow ferret through the static noise and point and focus on Jesus. You know, I think it's possible that with everything going on, good people doing good things can forget Jesus, just as Joseph and Mary did. Good people doing good things forgot Jesus. The good news was is that once they realized they forgot Him, they looked for Him. And that's the good news. If we realize that we have forgotten Jesus, that we've left Him out of some aspect of our life or our activities or some area of our life, we can do what Joseph and Mary did. They looked for Jesus. When they realized that they had left Him, I can imagine the attention instantly and immediately was focused on one goal, finding Jesus. Reminds me of a little story of a little boy. The salesman called on the telephone. I think I've told you this before, but I love this little story. The salesman called on the radio and on the telephone. And the little boy answers, "Hello." And the salesman says, "Is your mom there?" "Yes." "Can she come to the phone?" "No, she's busy." "Oh, okay. Well, is your dad there?" "Yes." "Can he come to the phone?" "No, he's busy." "Well, is there anybody else there?" "Yes, there's a policeman here." "Well, can I talk to him?" "No, he's busy." "Well, what are they all busy doing?" "They're looking for me." Somehow little Bobby or whatever had snuck off in a corner somewhere and mama couldn't find him and daddy couldn't find him and the police couldn't find him, the fire. And I guarantee you that in that house there was some intense looking for going on. Well, but Joseph and Mary had some intense looking for going on. They were focused on finding Jesus. Now let me show you how they searched. It says, I believe the first thing, immediately they searched. First thing they did, as soon as they realized, they dropped everything. They did what any loving mom, any loving dad would do. Instantly dropped everything else and focused on finding Jesus. And this is what we have to do. When we realize that we've left Jesus out of a part of our life or out of an activity or out of a season or out of whatever, we need to focus right then. Immediately drop whatever else is going on and focus on finding Jesus. I believe that they looked extensively. If you look at verse number 44, it says, they supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him, and look where they looked. First, they looked among their relatives. They started out in the first places of looking, place people that were close to them. Then, when they didn't find him among their in-laws and their cousins and their aunts and uncles, they looked among their acquaintances, it says, their relatives. Now they're broadening the search. They're reaching out further. And when they don't find him there, they travel all the way back to Jerusalem. Now, they have traveled one whole day from Jerusalem. They traveled another whole day back to Jerusalem. And then they traveled, spent the whole day in Jerusalem, going to where they stayed, going to where they had visited, going to the places they had eaten lunch. I mean, going every place. So they searched until they found him. They searched until they found him. They didn't give up. They didn't stop until they found him. It's interesting, this word in verse number 44, it says they began looking for him. The Greek, that began looking, that Greek word there, it says they searched from the bottom up. It's the idea of us saying all over. And the Greek actually carries a franticness about it. The Greek language actually carries this idea of extensive, passionate, frenetic search. And I believe that there needs to be an extensiveness about our searching when we have realized that we left Jesus out. Lord, I've left you out of this area. I've left you out of this relationship. I've left you out of this celebration. I've left you out of this arena of my life. I've got to find where you can become Lord of my life again. Now the beauty is that they did find Jesus. They found Jesus. One guarantee is that anybody who searches for Jesus will find him. Search and you will find, it says. They found him. And what's interesting to me about how they found him, first of all, they found him in the right place. Look at verse 45. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the right place. Found him in the temple. Found him in the right place. In God's house. Sometimes people, when you have lost something, offer what seems to be well-intentioned but stupid help. Don't you love the questions people ask you when you say you've lost something? Well, I can't find my keys. Where's the last place you had them? Well, duh, why didn't I think of that? You know, gosh, I should have followed that. Or when somebody says, you know, you're going to find it in the last place you look. It's going to be the last place you look. Well, yeah, because when I find them, I'm going to stop looking. But you know what? The reason people say that is because they're so true. Where are you going to find the last, when you find Jesus, you're going to stop looking for him. Where are you going to find him? You're going to find him where you left him. You're going to find him where you left him. Joseph and Mary had been in the temple. They had been worshiping. They had been serving. They had been doing the right thing. Somehow in their busyness, in their assumptions, somehow, through not taking responsibility, somehow through all of these other things, they had left Jesus there. But when they went back to the Father's house, they found him where they left him. The next thing I think is interesting is that they found him doing the right thing. It says in verse 49, he said to them, "Why is it that you're looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Here's the beauty of it is Jesus is always going to do the right thing. Just before that, it says in verse number 48, when they saw him, verse 46, three days they found him sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. See, Jesus was doing the right thing. He was ministering to the hearts of people. He was ministering to their hearts. They had questions. He had answers. They thought they had answers. His questions proved they didn't have answers. He invented Jeopardy before King Media, or whatever the company calls it, thinks they had it, is he asked the questions. They didn't have answers for them. And it says they were amazed. It's interesting, this word in verse 46, amazed, literally means they were beside themselves. It paints a picture of people's eyes bugging out of their head. He was ministering them to in such an extent that they were blown away. You've heard the phrase, they had their socks knocked off. Or how does that phrase go? Knock their socks off. I mean, he literally, through his questions, and they're looking at this 12-year-old kid, and they're blown away because their hearts are being pierced. You see, Jesus does the right thing. He pierces our hearts. And so they find Jesus in the right place, doing the right thing. It's interesting to me that, I didn't read this verse, but 51 says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. See, he did the right thing. He went with them.
He submitted himself. He did the right thing. Jesus is going to do the right thing. Always. Sometimes folks are afraid to go back to Jesus. I don't want to go back to where I left him because he's going to whoop on me. He's going to beat up on me. He's going to tear me up. He's going to do the right thing. He's going to minister to your heart. He's going to amaze you with his love. He's going to astonish you.
So, you know, it's interesting. Here in the same chapter where we have the birth of Jesus, just a few verses earlier, we had a babe in a manger who's now astonishing the elders, doing the right thing. Joseph and Mary, in their good activities, in their routine of doing the right thing, left Jesus out. This tonight, I just wanted to encourage you that in our good activities, in our routine of doing the right thing, that we don't get used to it, become old hat, and we leave Jesus. We need to be those who have pierced hearts, whose eyes bug out, who are amazed at things that they hear. Keeping that freshness. What did they do? First, they left Jesus, like we do sometimes. But when they realized that, they looked for him. And then when they looked for him, they found him. I wanted to tie somehow in this, you know, this season and this time of the year that we're in. It's just kind of a reminder of focusing on Jesus. I came across a poem about the innkeeper that really struck me, and I started to go this direction, but I'm just going to tie this thought in to wrap it up. The innkeeper gets a lot of bad press. You know that the innkeeper is not found in the Bible? He's not in the Bible. There is no innkeeper in the Bible. All it says was there was no room for him at the inn. Okay? It doesn't say the innkeeper said, go somewhere else. It doesn't say the innkeeper said, here, let me take you back to my manger and you can, you know. He wasn't a mean old man. He wasn't a kind, gentle old. We don't know who he was. He may have been a woman. There is no innkeeper in the Bible. Common assumptions that we make. He gets beat up pretty good. But I came across this poem about him that I want to read to you. Here's something he might say. I only did what you have done 1,000 times or more. When Joseph came to Bethlehem and knocked upon my door, I did not turn the Christ away or leave him there bereft. Like you, I only gave to him whatever I had left. This time of the year, it's easy to give leftovers to him because we're so focused on us and on our families and on each other. I just encourage you, look for strong, strong ways to focus on Jesus. Joseph and Mary left Jesus behind. Let's not. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us. You are so great and magnificent. We know that sometimes we are quick, or perhaps we easily get caught up in ourselves. It's somehow so easy for us to assume that everything's okay in our relationship with you and just go along with the flow. Like Joseph and Mary for so many years, just going through the normal day in, day out things of worship and service and good things. But in our normality, we leave you out. We assume that things are okay, Father, and wake up one day and find that they're not. Help us to take responsibility. To leave behind the bad, the busyness, all those extra activities, all that distraction. So that we can find you again. Lord, we know we're going to find you right where we left you. Right where we veered off the path. Right where we stepped aside. Right where we took a left. You're going to be right there. And you're going to love us. Amaze us with your love. You're going to do the right thing.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Lord Jesus, love us and help us to love you. Help us to love each other and therefore show him to be your disciples. I thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.